Raised Rowdy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nick Tressler.
Welcome, Mr. Brennan Clements, to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
I know you've been happening to around town a little bit more, played our event in the local.
Yeah.
And then I know you were in town playing Texas 2 last night, too.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We very much love that event.
Yeah. It's a great time. It's a really cool bar. And, you know, getting to put music out there is, there's nothing better than that, especially getting to play new songs, seeing people's reactions to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real good time.
Very fun. Quick, in and out, fun. And Aniston and Delaney and the whole crew do a great job with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So much fun.
So fill us in. What's life been like since you've been traveling up here? I know you're a Texas guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, this time last year, I was selling lumber at a lumberyard in East Texas. Music for me was always kind of a pipe dream. And then social media taking off.
Crazy.
Getting me to where I'm at now. Living the dream. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Driving to me doesn't bother me at all. It's about an 8.5-9 hour drive to get out here.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it's 20 minutes as fast as it goes by.
Oh, that's cool.
It's, yeah. Every minute's worth it to get out here.
Absolutely. And have you been like co-writing when you've been out here?
I have been. Yes, awesome. Sir. Yeah. That's also been unbelievable. Going, like I said, from selling lumber to being in a room with Rhett Akins and Jesse Alexander. It's, yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of thrown into the fire in the best way possible. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Has it been an adjustment, like, co-writing?
It has been. Because before, I always wrote, like, titles and chorus here, verse there. But it was always, like, just me, like, in my room with a guitar by myself, alone with my thoughts. And then you get into a room with people that have done this for years and years and years and have all these incredible ideas, and you have to just kind of sit back and go, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Has there been a moment where you're like, they throw out an idea and you're like, no, like, let's do this? Like,
no,
not yet.
No, I'm not that proud of myself to cut those people off. They're here for a reason, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest parts about Nashville for sure, is just like the depth of the roster of great songwriters that are here.
Well, and just the concentration too. Like, everybody is right here. In Texas, there's a ton of great writers, but if you want to write with so-and-so in Abilene, it's going to be a 4.5 hour drive west. Yeah. Or if you want to get down to Austin, for me, it's 3.5 hours. Like,
or if you want to write with Dean Dillon, you got to go to the Bahamas or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a big thing too. And I'm sure there's like little pockets where there's like collectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I even remember talking to like Cleto and Caitlin a while ago, and they said like during COVID, there was like a big group text where like everybody was writing songs and sharing them in that to kind of like keep that community going.
Yeah.
I wasn't in that group chat.
Yeah, you're not that great at writing songs about cactuses yet, but
wild Juanitas.
Yeah. But it was it's always interesting to hear that too, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the cool things about Nashville and Texas scenes now, for a while it was very much like, we're from Texas, we're from Nashville, and it was like almost like a war.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's definitely a lot more like
collaborative,
embracive, and collaborative.
Yes, yeah.
And I think realistically, like, an artist, you don't need to move here from Texas, right?
Right.
Like, that's your home base. That's where your family is. That's probably where your touring's coming out of.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But coming in and showing your face and making connections and getting to write with other people that are kind of helping you grow your writing ability seems to be like a great thing that has kind of happened since I've been here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Coming out here just the past few months, in my songwriting, I've grown so much because you learn by osmosis, kind of. Mm-hmm. You're just sitting in a room. Like this morning, I was with Wendell Mobley and Tony Martin. Like,
so cool.
These guys have a bunch of hits, and you throw out a line and you realize really quickly like what works and what doesn't. And you never throw that line out again. But no, it's for me just an unbelievable resource to be able to learn and grow and develop as a songwriter and even as an artist. Cause I don't know, again, a year ago, I was selling lumber.
Yeah.
Like, had to do a lot of things really quickly to get to the point that I'm at now. And so thankful for Nashville and everything it has to offer.
Oh yeah. And I guess, I mean, social media. So like,
yeah.
Should we maybe start there? Like kind of, when did you start like really posting songs online, and like, is there a specific song that kind of like really got the needle moving?
Yeah. So how I got started posting is kind of a funny story. Me and my girlfriend were at Live at the Station in College Station September of last year, mm-hmm. or of 24 actually. and it was Hudson Westbrook, Megan Maroney, Wyatt Flores, and Turnpike.
Damn, well, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And we had really good time. But while Hudson Westbrook was on stage, my girlfriend turns around and goes, like, he's not any better than you are. Like, you could do this. And I was like, well, hold on. It's Hudson Westbrook. He's really good.
Yeah.
Like, take a chill pill. And then a few months later, we're at the Dickies Arena, and it's Ty Myers and Flatland playing New Year's Eve at the Dickies Arena. And she says the exact same thing. And like, those guys are great, but you're good too. You need to start posting stuff. So January of 25 is when I put my first like TikTok out in the world. I don't even remember what song it was, but I started then and was not consistent at all. I would like wait 3 days and post, and then I'd wait 3 weeks and post. Then I went from March to the end of July, I think, without posting at all. And then I'm also in the Air National Guard. I got put on orders for all of August and September, which basically just means they called me to base to come do extra work that they had for me. Get out there, and on my lunch break, I had my guitar with me there at the shop, and was sitting there playing it, decided I was going to prop my phone up on a little step ladder with a impact drill. And I did Traveling Soldier, took off, woke up the next morning, and I was like, oh crap, I'm going to do the same thing every day, and did. And over those 2 months, just blew me up. I came out here in October right after I got done working out there, and Warner Chappell called me up and said, hey, we want to schedule a week worth of rights with you. It's like, cool, I'll be back.
Yeah,
come back absolutely. In November, and yeah, the rest is history. Got my pub deal, was able to, you know, make this what I do, which is, like I said, a dream come true.
Absolutely. And I'm sure it's crazy too, like you said, like getting to get into rooms with these legendary hit makers and just even more than hit makers, like wordsmiths.
Yes, you know. Well, and honestly, for me, like meeting them as people and understanding like what it is that kind of makes them tick a little bit. I think that's probably what's helped me more than anything, is because like they're not just the songs that they write. Like Rhett Akins is also a turkey hunter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We got in the room, we actually wrote, it was Rhett and Jesse that wrote Why Are You Crying With Me. And get in the room with Rhett, and we spent the first 30 minutes talking about like wildlife management and deer hunting and stuff like that, which was incredible. Like that writing the song was great, but getting to talk about things outside of music and meet them as like a person was, it doesn't get better than that.
Nah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you realize too. And it's with artists, it's with great songwriters. Everybody's a person.
Exactly.
You know? So it's really cool to get to know those people as people.
Right. Yeah.
That's cool.
Especially getting to meet like people that you hold on this like pedestal, and you shake their hand and meet them in a room, and it's like, oh, you're just a dude, you know, you're just a chick, like you're just a human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of like, well, if they used to just be mortals,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, maybe I could one day be great and do great things in the music industry.
Well, like last night, played that show, The Texas Two, and then went down the street to another bar and walked
Skinny
into the corner.
Dennis, we know.
Yeah. Walk into the corner and Zach Topp's playing pool right there, shake his hand, say hi and all that. But you realize really quick, like you said, it's just another guy like looking to have a Tuesday night at a bar in Nashville. It's really cool. You don't get that really anywhere else aside from here, because it's just, like I said, it's so much more concentrated here. Like the artists and songwriters. I mean, you can be in Dallas for years and never really see anybody, but come here and it's like every time you turn around, there's Rhett Akins or Thomas Rhett is right there. It's just a crazy place.
For sure. And it honestly, like the closer you are to Music Row, of course, like the more times you'll see people, you know, it's like, all the little lunch spots over there, yeah. and you know,
right.
honestly, all little bars.
I remember being like at Losers and just being there drunk one night, and then Toby Keith came out and started saying, "I love this bar," like with the house band. And I was
That's
just
crazy.
Like,
"I Love This Bar" was the first song I ever memorized. Like,
really?
Yeah, I was 3 years old, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I would pay to see you sing that as a 3 year old.
Yeah, well, I think I have video of it somewhere.
That would go crazy online, I bet. Yeah. It'd be so adorable.
Yeah. You should just cover it and then just post the 3 year old version, like mix it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be great content, honestly.
Well, so you posted on TikTok, blew up. Mm. Warner has got you coming to write. You got a pub deal now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you got linked up with your management company.
Yeah, so. Blake Ferguson with Make Wake and Deep yep. Roots. He'd actually, I don't remember if he reached out to me or if I reached out to him first, but originally I don't even think I realized he was in artist management. Mm-hmm. I just saw he played football.
Yeah.
Played for the Dolphins and had Fins played up. It. Yeah. Played for the Dolphins and had played at LSU before yep. that, which LSU is where I'm getting my degree in construction management. So
yeah.
we kind of immediately hit it off, started talking about like, LSU football and how sad that's been the past few years.
And how he won the championship and everything. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, when it came time for me to actually start looking for a manager, I reached back out to him and was like, "Hey, what would this look like?" And we showed up one morning at a spot and can't remember where it was at, but it was out here in Nashville, had coffee, had a good conversation later that week, followed up and yeah, off and running.
Hell sick. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Construction management. I feel like everyone I know that is like an artist in Texas is like in like Keller. That's what Keller did, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Construction stuff, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. There's probably lots of construction. There's still like land that doesn't have houses on it down
yeah.
there.
Right. Well, yeah. It's
not as
thinning,
much, but
thinning out pretty yeah. quick. But.
Well, that's great, man. And then so now you're cutting songs, putting songs out.
Yeah.
Doing the whole artist thing. It's incredible. Tell us about the songs you have out now, and then tell us about what's coming up.
Yeah, so the only song I have out right now is called Meet in Amarillo. The whole song is basically a love letter. When I was at basic training for the Air Force, the only way I could communicate with my now fiance, Abby, was through letters, which was difficult. She was in her senior year of high school. I missed a lot of stuff because it was that fall of her mm-hmm. senior year. She was the captain of the dance team at the high school. She was homecoming queen, all that, and I missed it because I was at basic training. I was only really seeing all that through, like, the pictures that she would have in the letters that she sent. But anyway, when it came time for me to start writing songs, I wanted to make sure that I had something that brought me back to that place. And Meeting Amarillo is what came out of it. Yeah, so the whole song is just that love letter, like, I wish I could get back to where you're at, or we could meet somewhere mm-hmm. in the middle and start our life forever. And then this Friday, Why Are You Crying is coming out. That's one of my favorite songs I've written even still. Wrote it with Rhett and Jesse, mm-hmm. and the whole thing is about, like, a girl who ran off with another guy and found out the grass wasn't greener on the other side.
She's probably kicking herself right now. Too bad.
Probably. Yeah. But yeah, Meet Amarillo is the only song I have out right now, but have a lot of stuff in the pipe tank. Ready to go. Yeah.
No Love doubt. That. No doubt. I mean, we played some of it together at Whiskey
yeah,
Jam.
Yeah, that's right.
It was super fun. Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun. Yeah, that was a really cool spot as well. It's just great. That was the first time I played with the full band aside from playing at church too, which was.
Oh, wait, really?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Damn, you did great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having played at church, I played in my worship team for 7 years between different churches, one when I was in high school in Montana and then the one that I had been going to in Longview for the past 5 years. So not the first time I played with the band.
Right.
But definitely, like, outside of worship music, doing it with country music is a little bit different. And
That's cool.
Had
though.
A great time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We got to get you on the road, brother.
Dude, I am ready.
Oh, no doubt. You got the voice, man. You got the songs.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Your voice is so cool, and it has, like, elements that you would think of when you think of traditional country, and definitely some of, like, the thing that you've seen traditional country come from Texas, too. Mm-hmm. So you hear a little bit of Texas in it.
Right.
As well, but...
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, but also similarly to that... also distinct. Like when you hear it, I'm like, okay, I'll know when I hear your voice again on another song, which I think is a very important part.
I really appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, just singing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think some people try to sound like their favorite people, which can't blame them. Like if I could make myself sound like Randy Travis, I would, you know what I mean? But, you know, at the end of the day, you just kind of realize like people don't want the same thing over and over again.
Right.
They want something that's different. And that doesn't mean you have to go like put jazz music in country music, but just be yourself. You know what I mean? And, so that's what I do. I just sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And wouldn't you do a great job of it for sure?
I appreciate it.
Now I need to hear a Randy Travis jazz record. The robots can do it.
Hey, yeah, I know.
Get on Suno.
So we talked about like, you know, a little bit about how this thing kind of started, but why don't we talk about like your like raising, like what your parents kind of enjoyed musically, like what you were brought up on in that way?
Yeah. So my parents were both really young when I was born. My dad was 18. My mom was 19. So growing up, I grew up listening to what they listened to. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of, you know, Randy Travis, George Strait, Keith Whitley, like the 80s, 90s country. But also because they were so young, they needed a lot of help. So I was with my grandparents and my great grandparents all the time and listening to the things that they listened to. My great grandpa played a B3 in a blues band for years. And so we were listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan and B.B. King and just a bunch of the
greats.
Yeah. And then he was obviously, since he played keys, was a big like Ronnie Millsap fan. And so love me some Ronnie. But Ronnie Millsap, George Jones, Merle Haggard, Willie Waylon, all those guys.
Great.
Started singing as soon as I could talk because my dad, all my aunts and uncles sing, my grandparents. Christmas at my grandparents' house is the best time because we're all sitting in front of the fireplace singing the old Christmas songs. Exactly, yeah.
Love that.
It's just always been a part of me and my family. I'll tell you a little story about my great-grandparents as well. My great-grandma won the lottery in 1995. Yeah, unbelievable. It was a Tuesday, and they were doing tacos because it was Taco Tuesday. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she gets home, she's starting to make it, and she didn't have sour cream. And my grandpa was like, well, I'm not eating tacos without sour cream. So she goes to the corner store. While she's there, buys a sour cream and a lottery ticket. Comes home, they eat their tacos. The next day, she's back at the gas station getting gas. Goes inside, and the lady working the counter goes, did you win the lottery last night? And she's like, what do you mean? And she was like, whoever won it bought their ticket here, and you're the only person I remember buying one yesterday. She was like, well, let me check the numbers. And she did, and she was like, oh, my goodness. Ran home, called
them. That's probably not what she said.
Well, she was probably not. But anyway, after all of that, they ended up building this metal building that we just call the barn, the Clements Creek Barn. And they have this whole sound set up in there, put like a karaoke system in there. We still have like, it's like an old catalog with all the discs you have to put in. It's great. We still go out there and do it all the time. That's where I started. We'd go out there. I was always like pulling on his pant leg, like, can we go to the barn? Can we go to the barn? We'd get out there and he'd put in like, Don't Rock the Jukebox. And I'd get up there. I couldn't read the words off the screen, but I knew the words because I'd heard the song 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, literally as soon as I could talk from my earliest memories, like I was singing because that's what everybody in my family did. And I thought that's just what you do. You know what I mean? And then growing up, stayed with it. By the time I was in like middle school, I started getting into choir and doing like honor choir stuff. Originally was going to go to school for like music education. And then I graduated high school in 2020, which I know is a meme. But graduated high school in 2020, and they told me that I was going to have to do choir online. And I was like, I don't know that I want to do that. Went ahead and enlisted in the Air National Guard and did that before I started school at LSU online, which has been great. But, yeah, music's always just been a part of my life, and I'm so glad that I get to do this now.
Yeah.
Was there a time where you were just, like, super unsure if you want to make this your career or –
Well, whenever I became an adult, I was like having young parents who had young parents. I mean, my grandpa was only 35 years old when I was born, because he had my dad when he was 17. My dad was 18 when I was born. Mm-hmm. So in my family, it was always just kind of an understanding that when you become an adult, you better figure it out pretty quick. So like I said, I did the responsible thing, enlisted, went to basic training. I do HVAC in the Air Force, so got out of basic training in tech school. And being in the Air National Guard, I only go serve a weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah.
So I still have a civilian job. Got out, started doing HVAC, like paying my bills, doing all that. And none of this was really in the cards for me until this last fall. Like I said, just thanks to social media. Otherwise, I'd build houses for a living for the rest of my life.
Totally. And yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But like, if you have a gig at the Ryman coming up and then like Air Force calls, I mean, are you like, I got to go? Or like, how does that work?
Well, it depends. So there's a little bit of leeway. But like if World War III pops off,
right
now I still got to go.
Yeah.
I've been in for 5.5 years. My contract ends this October. So looking at whether or not I'm getting out, but yeah, hopefully nothing pops off. And I don't have to, you know, pop smoking, get overseas somewhere.
Totally.
Yeah.
Has your family been a military background as well?
Yes. Yeah. So, my dad enlisted when I was a year old, went to basic training. He was Air Force as well. So mm-hmm. San Antonio, he was security forces, did multiple tours overseas. My stepdad did as well. Both of them enlisted like right after 9/11. My great grandpa served in Korea. Well, 3 out of my 4 great grandpas served in Korea. Which is just so cool to look back on, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of my great great grandpas fought in World War I. He was in the Coast Guard and rode horseback along the Gulf looking for U-boats in the Gulf, which is
crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable. We still have his saddle and all that stuff at the barn, actually. Military service has always been a part of my family, and it was one of those things that, especially when they told me choir was going to be online, I had already been thinking I wanted to do the Air National Guard, because you can do both. You can be a full-time student and be in the Air National Guard. Mm-hmm. But when they said that, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going headfirst into this, because I wanted to kind of uphold that tradition in my family of doing some kind of service. But
I love that. And I know you have a song kind of in the works.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, very heavily military related. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, so the song's called Folded Flag, and I had had the idea for the song forever. Just the title was in my notes app. And a couple months ago, I was coming out here and got into a room and told the people I was writing with, I was like, I have this title, because they were asking me all these military questions. Because most of the things that people see of me online is those videos from when I was like on my lunch break in the fall.
Yep.
So they're asking me all these questions about the military and like asking me if I wanted to write something about it. So I bring the title up and they're like, we have to write that. And Ava Hall was one of the writers that was doing it with me. I think she just played
last night. Yeah.
But she basically like turned into my therapist and like started pulling all these stories out. So yeah, the first verse is about like the first time I ever saw my dad cry was at my great grandpa's funeral, the one that played in the blues band. It was at his funeral during like the 21 gun salute. They're folding the flag, Taps plays. Whenever they presented the flag to my great grandmother, because my dad was in uniform, he was in his blues, she gets up and walks over to him and gives it to him, because to her it was just a, like, it's a flag, but to her it didn't mean as much as she knew it would mean to my dad. So walks over. That's the first time I'd ever seen my dad cry. Gonna make me cry. But
my grandfather's funeral, I bawled like a baby.
Yeah,
I look over and my mom's crying and my uncles are crying and everything. I'm like, this song's gonna make me cry. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
And then the second verse is one of the first times I remember, like, my dad deploying. The way that it would work back then was we would have to be like at his squadron building at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So we would spend the whole night like doing everything we wanted to, like playing games and all that stuff, if he had time, because a lot of times they're packing, just getting ready for their deployment. But we get to like the squadron building, and she's holding back tears as best she can because she's got me and my little brother as well and doesn't want us to see her upset. But it's, I mean, her husband's leaving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so the whole song is just extremely vulnerable. It's all like real things that have happened in my life that I've seen between my parents and my stepdad as well. And yeah, song means a lot to me, and I cannot wait for that to come out and everybody to get to hear it.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I haven't heard it yet, but when I saw, you know, what it was about, I'm like, man,
it's heavy.
Yeah, but honestly, the things that mean the most to you are often the things that mean the most to the most people.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's one thing is like there's so many people that have immediate family members that are in the military that'll understand what the song is about, especially, you know, I mean, for what, 20 years we were in the global war on terror after 9/11. There's so many people that have that connection and understand like the symbolism of a folded flag. Most people think of the folded flag as like just whenever somebody dies, you get the folded flag, but that's not it. Like anytime somebody retires or sometimes like when they promote, they'll get a folded flag presented to them.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that like usually marks a milestone in somebody's career in the military. Like a couple summers ago when my dad retired, he was stationed at a base in England. We go over there, and at the retirement ceremony, they fold the flag. His flag got flown over the state capitol in Texas before they folded it, and then he gets to present it to somebody that helped him throughout his career, and he walks over. I was in uniform then because I was already in, which is also extremely cool to be able to serve at the same time as my dad, and to get to wear the same uniform right next to him. It's really cool. But he walks over to me, presents it to me, and there I was having to fight tears as well myself. So the song means a lot, and like I said, cannot wait for people to hear it, and hopefully people will connect with it the way that I think they will.
I think they will.
Yeah.
Like I said, it often, the way you talk about that song is the way that people talk about songs that connect with the most people, you know, which is always the best part.
Yeah. Sometimes the ones that hurt the most are the ones that people need the most.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds like country gold to me, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Getting goosebumps just thinking about. Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, it's exciting for sure.
And then we know we talked about like these kind of being your first full band show that Kirk got to play with you. So he's in your band now. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be my resume. Being Brandon's band.
And then of course like writers rounds and stuff. Like what other shows have you like gotten to play?
Well, as far as shows that I've gotten to play, there's not very many, but we have shows coming up, like getting to open for Flatland this summer is huge for me because, like I said, that was part of the whole reason I started posting in the first place. Mm-hmm. So to have this full circle moment where I'm going to be like sharing a stage with them is unbelievable. You know what I mean?
So great.
But yeah, right now we're just working on, we've got a band put together, working on filling the calendar, getting more shows out in Texas.
Love that.
Around the red dirt area, but yeah.
And then I'm sure banging on social media still.
Yes, sir. Every day.
Yeah. What have you seen in terms of social media? Like, I mean, of course, like the videos of you in your uniform have like done well for you. In my head, it's like, of course you stop when you see that because it doesn't look like everyone else that's singing a song.
Yeah.
You know? So, is there anything like that you've seen like be success or more successful or any like kind of tips for anyone else that's like trying to figure out social media?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, I think it all came with consistency. 'Cause like I said, when I did first start posting, it was sporadic. It was all over the place. It wasn't until I started posting every day that the videos had a chance to get caught by the algorithm and take off. Yeah. But at the same time too, it's like, you know, obviously that's not how everybody does it. Like a lot of times it's just the songs you're playing, whether or not people know them. If you can get something to catch their ear at the beginning of the video, they might stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's why like guitar players do so well. Like guys like Colton Dawson on TikTok do so well because they can rip, you know what I mean? And that's going to immediately catch somebody's ear. Or people with like really interesting tones, like an A.R. Simmons singing like My Favorite Memory is perfect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's like we talked about before with just kind of the way I sing, like be yourself, do the things that make you stand out naturally. Don't try to like force yourself to be whoever, just be yourself. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah.
It's great advice. Mm-hmm. And who knows, it could be it's always a moving target with social media sometimes. But I think just doing it consistently and just being yourself is, you know, the hardest thing to do as an artist is to sound like yourself, which is kind of funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you hear all the greats and all those songs that you sang for years and years of other people's, you know, and of course that leaks into what you do, right?
Yes, hopefully. Yeah. Well,
But like, where you really figure it out is once you're putting out things and you're like, this is how I sing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You'll always have them in your ear. Like, I don't know, you'll never not hear Randy Travis sing in 1982. You know what I mean? Like, that's always going to be a song that is his song. So when I sing it, I'm probably going to do a lot of the same things that he did. But you just try not to, like, think so much about what you've already heard. You just take the words and the melody, sing it the way that you would sing it, and those things will just naturally kind of come out, and you can't really help that. But part of that's also what makes the song the song. 100%. You know what I mean?
I love that. Anything else that you have, like, either coming down the line or, I mean, of course, like, we talked about music. We talked about the Flatland shows.
Yeah.
That you're excited about, or any writes that you have coming up that you're really excited about getting in the room with someone?
Yeah, I mean, even just this week, I was in a room with, like, Roger Springer and Robert Arthur and got an incredible song on Monday. And then being able to get back in rooms like I was this morning with Wendell Mobley and Tony Martin, Jen Schott, Mark Irwin, just, you know, some hitters, you know what I mean? And some of those guys, like, as often as I'm out here, we're writing, you know what I mean? Like, I've written with Wendell and Tony now 3 times, and every song we've written is just, like, incredible, so you know what I mean? Mark and Jen are the same way. So, yeah, just continuing to write, getting more music out is another big thing for me.
Like, yeah.
Right now, going through songs, trying to figure out what's getting cut, what's not, which is extremely difficult. Like, having been in as many great writes as I've been in and having as many songs that I love as I do, that's a difficult thing to go through and go like, okay, this one needs to get cut. This one we can't do, but it's a great song. Maybe we'll save it for later. That's difficult, but yeah, really excited to get more stuff out there and like play more shows. Like, all of that stuff is just really exciting.
Love that.
And you said you like driving, so I think you picked the right career.
Yeah, no kidding.
Driving that van around.
Yeah, for me, driving was never really a problem. My parents got divorced when I was 6 years old, and the closest we ever lived after they got divorced was 5.5 hours. So we would go to my dad's for like a weekend, a month, or whatever it was, and we'd spend 11 hours on a weekend driving. So being in the car never really affected me. And then especially like when I got up, I was in high school. We lived in Montana. We were in Great Falls, Montana. And I'll never forget, like, the day after I graduated high school, turned around and left to get back to East Texas, which was like a 30-something hour long drive. We split it up into 3 days, picked up one of my best friends in Altus, Oklahoma, and then made it the rest of the way to East Texas. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know, throw some good music on and get to trucking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think driving like long distances is a lot easier now with like Spotify and all that. And you GPS. Can do audiobooks. And, yeah, GPS for sure.
Yeah. And there's so many great podcasts like this one.
Yeah, totally. So good. Thank you.
But yeah, there's just so many good like entertainment sources with like Apple CarPlay. Like, throw something you like on and just get going,
get rolling.
Yeah,
totally, man.
Yep.
Well, I'm freaking stoked for you, brother. I'm proud to know you, and I really like playing that show together. So hopefully, we can jam again sometime.
We'll do it again.
Maybe I'll
for
play
sure.
Steel next time.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
be great.
Can't go wrong with the Steel.
Yep, and I'm excited to see your full band show.
Yeah.
Of course, like, we got the pleasure to see you at a writer's round, but
right.
Looking very excited for that. And I mean, you guys have a great team assembled on the publishing side, management side, and
yes, sir.
You can tell how great of a human you are, as well as
well, I appreciate
great
it.
Singer.
Yeah, that's more for my mom and dad than it is for me.
Hey, that's how it works, you know.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're a good steward for the family name, brother.
I appreciate it. Yeah. They'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, go listen to Why Are You Crying? Comes out on the 17th.
Yes.
Yes. You probably already followed Brennan. Obviously, he's more followers than any of us have by a wide margin. But we appreciate you coming to spend your time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for stopping in.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Cheers.
All right. See y'all. Thanks.